B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch it.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're going to start Bruins. We're actually going to start everything other than the Patriots. We'll get to all of our Patriots stuff, our Tom Brady latest. All of that will come a little later on in the program. Thought we'd start by clearing the decks here on a Wednesday. Maz, of all the other stuff on the Boston sporting calendar, if you will. And we'll start with the Bruins and their win last night. Maz is alongside, as is big Jim Murray.
Good, you?
Good. Peachy, you have a Bruins thought after their eighth consecutive win last night?
Yes, I was in the building last night, and I make it over for a couple of regular season games a year. And as I was watching the thing, and which was an absolute tractor pull of a game, if you ask me, I thought it was a complete snooze fest. You look up, and it's still nothing with 5 minutes to go. And I looked at the guy next to me, and I said, "They'll pull this out. This is the way they are now. They play when they have to. They crank it up at the end of the game, and they win the game. If they're down 1-0, they get 2 goals, 3 goals in the third period." If they're down 2-1, they get 2 goals in the third period. If the game's tied 0-0, they score 2 goals in a couple of minutes, and they win 2-0. That's what they do. They play when they have to, which is great. It tells you how good they are. And it scares the crap out of me. It scares the crap out of me because they've lost 3 games in regulation all year. 3 games.
It's crazy, huh?
They have not lost a game in regulation at home. They have yet to play a game on the Garden ice where they skated off at the end without a point. At least a point all year long. So let me just say clearly, they're good. They're good, they're experienced, and I think they know how good they are, which is what concerns me. And you say, how could you possibly be worried about a team that is 24 and whatever the hell they are, 5 or something like that? I mean, it's some absolutely 23-5 or whatever the record is. And you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about them being the Tampa Bay Lightning of 2019-2020. That's what I'm worried about. And specifically what I'm worried about is that Tampa Bay got into the first round on a record-setting season against the Columbus Blue Jackets and got swept. And do you remember what the coach said after the game 4 when they lost John Cooper?
I do.
The coach of the Lightning. Here is what John Cooper said after the game. Okay, now, I think he used it as a little bit of an excuse, but I do believe that it's a reality. And I think that you go so long knowing you can just turn it on and off that you fall into bad habits. And so, look, again, I'm not sitting here telling the Bruins suck on purpose for a little while. Like, they're not going to do that. But I don't want their regular season to be too easy.
I think that's definitely something to have in mind. It's the first thing I think of about it's too good to be true, bad habits, all those things. Like, that's just, that's where my first thought goes as well. But let me ask you this, Maz. Don't you think last year plays into it? In other words,
them losing, you mean in the
yes,
final?
Yes. Tampa, it's not completely analogous to Tampa. I mean, did Tampa last year lose in Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals the year before?
No.
And could it be the last kick at the can for, three quarters of their roster like this team?
No.
So what I'm hoping is that
whatever, they're on a mission.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. And whatever bad habits they've developed or whatever lack of adversity they've had to face and all these games they win just by flipping a switch late and, you just can't live that way in the playoffs, that all of that is outweighed by the thought of Game 7 on Garden Ice against the St. Louis Blues. And so they'll have the edge when they need it because that other thing is still fresh in their memory and is a motivating factor for them. That's what I'm hoping.
So I hope you're right. I mean, I think there is some of that here. I think that is what the Bruins feel. And I know it's not perfect apples to apples because the Bruins are in Game 7 of the finals. I get that part of it. But I would also tell you that when you really, look at it, this Tampa Bay team has been, kind of unfulfilled, this group with Stamkos. Like, as you look at them and you say, it's not entirely dissimilar is what I'm saying.
Yep.
The year before that, the year before last, they lost in the conference final. 2 years before that, they lost in the conference final.
So they should have had that fresh in their minds, too, is what you're saying.
Yeah, in 2014-15, they got to the finals and lost. So that's 2 conference finals and a final in a 4-year period. And so then all of a sudden they get there because they had an easy regular season, and they thought, well, we're going to be in the conference final again at a minimum. We'll get there, and then we'll see what happens. And I think they got blindsided. So I'm just worried about the Bruins getting blindsided. I think it's been – this is – I It's been too easy for them.
What's your Bruins thought, Murray?
Yeah, when I was reading this in the email chain this morning, initially I was like, Maz, you're just being a chicken little. And I couldn't even finish the thought because I kind of agree. Like, I don't want anything to do with the President's Trophy. And you've seen this before when teams are feeling it, like Tampa Bay, and they just roll right into the playoffs. I feel like more often than not, they get skunked somewhere along the line. I mean, that Lightning team last year was an absolute wagon. The Bruins this year looked like an absolute wagon. That game last night, it sucked until they decided, let's try for a couple of minutes, and they win the damn thing. And it's kind of been like that a few times so far this year. And I also tend to worry, like, if it all comes a little bit too easy by the time that the playoffs roll around, that they might get knocked off like it did in 2013-14 when they were the President's Trophy winner and they ended up losing to Montreal.
I mean, this whole concept, what this really comes down to is, can you flip the switch? Can you flip the switch? And I think in certain rare cases you can, but in other sports, I don't think you can do it in hockey. I don't think the sport works that way. I think that the spring comes and everybody flips a switch and you got to be ready to go or you're going to lose.
So I think it's a fair worry. I always worry about the Bruins. I always think something's going to go wrong or they're going to lose. So, I mean, it's where you're at is an easy place for me to get to. Okay? So
it's like baked in of being a fan of this team.
It really is, though. Yeah.
I always think the Celtics are going to win and I always think the Bruins are going to lose. And that's probably from my childhood or whatever. Just the stench each organization carries with itself. And it's probably unfair because the Celtics really haven't done much winning and the Bruins have been a pretty good team and et cetera, et cetera. But still, it's what's in my gut. Bruins are always going to lose. The Celtics are always going to win. So I'm with you, and I think we see it in hockey all the time, you know, that just being that best regular season team doesn't mean much unless you carry it into the postseason. So we'll see on that. I think in the meantime, I think it's incredible how they're pulling out these games. I think they've scored one first period goal in their last four games.
Something like that.
I think that's the stat. Their last four games, they've scored once in the first period. They were down 2-0 to the Rangers there the day after Thanksgiving. They come back and win. They're down to Montreal in the third period on, what was it, Saturday night. They come back and win. And they're just doing it over and over. And you know it. And you're so, like, it's very rare that the Bruins have had this feeling that, oh, yeah, they'll just make the winning plays at the end and win the game.
I mean, that's really what it is. Again, last night I was looking at it. First of all, I thought they played pretty well for the first 10 minutes of the game. Okay? And then they just kind of started. They didn't get a goal. They started coasting, and I thought Carolina then carried the play for really the next 20 minutes of the game. But I thought for the most part the Bruins really kind of went through the motions last night. And then all of a sudden they get to the final 5 minutes, the game's in the balance, and boom, boom, there you go. It's like two quick punches to the face, and that's it. It's over. And so I just think that's a dangerous way to live.
Okay. One other thing that I noticed and liked was just the line combinations. I liked that it was Charlie Coyle with Brad Marchand, and that was Krejci with Pastrnak. And so they've sort of split up Marchand and Pastrnak, or they did last night. Cassidy did last night. Easier to do without Bergeron. He's still hurt. So they've have the doors open for him to do some more mixing and matching. But I think they desperately need it. I think they desperately need to have other combinations and other things to go to if that top line runs dry, which it did last year and invariably happens. It just happens. And I thought Cassidy stuck way too long with that group last year when they were getting their ass handed to him, especially in the final against St. Louis. And if this opens the door for him to be more open to have some different combinations this time around when that line runs dry, and it will, then that's what I want to see. You need Krejci scoring. You need Krejci to, I mean, we've just seen it. When he's led you in scoring, you've won cups. Cup, singular. But, you know what I mean. He's just a crucial piece to it. And I think Coyle is, part and parcel with it. I don't think you can win with one line.
He's a difference maker for them, Coyle is.
Oh, no question.
He really is.
So, give him Marchand. Give him Krejci. Play around with that. And I think Cassidy started to, and I liked those lines last night. I liked that, okay? That's something that I stood out to me last night. Their goaltending, Maz, even with all their jackassery and the way that they play, their goaltending is, it feels like it's too good for them ever to have a long losing streak.
I mean, they probably have the best goaltending in the league.
Again, they have the best goaltending in the league.
And I mean that as a tandem, right? Like, no matter who's in there on any given night, that they are a threat to win the game, the goalie is.
Okay, here's one more thing. Last night featured what I would say is my only accepted form of replay.
This thing was unbelievable.
Okay? I am anti-replay. If you know me, you know that I am done with replay. I want no replay. I want the leagues to abolish replay and go back to the way it used to be with blown calls that we all can see on TV, because replay doesn't work. Replay does not work. It does not enhance the experience of these games. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked. And I think it's kind of a fact. So I'm anti-replay. The only time I want to see replay is something like last night, which is, in case you missed it, Carolina scored on a goal in the third period that went through the side of the net. It didn't go over the goal line. It's somehow a little weak backhander found this little crease in the net that was one of the pieces of twine was missing, and somehow this little floater of a backhand found it on the outside of the post through the net. Okay, so the horn went off or whatever. You know, they called it a goal on the ice. They celebrated on the ice. It took one look at the replay. It took about 15 seconds. No goal. That's how I want replay to work.
Well, especially in a case like that where it was egregious.
Beyond obvious, key play that impacted the game, and it took less than 30 seconds for us all to see it, and we all got on with our lives. That is what replay should be, which ties into, if you were paying attention to the world of sports last night, there was an unbelievable play from James Harden and the Houston Rockets, where James Harden, it was Houston and San Antonio. This is a game that Houston ended up losing in double overtime. Harden went in for an uncontested dunk, up, I think, 13 points in the fourth quarter. And he dunked it through the net to the point where it sort of whipped around the net and came back out.
Came out the bottom.
Came out the bottom of the net, but it sort of flipped out in a way that, in real time, bang, bang, it sort of looked funky, like maybe it didn't go all the way through the net. Okay, the rule in basketball, did you know this? That it had to clear the net for it to be...
Correct.
So if it goes into the net and somehow pops out...
I did not know that.
Okay, I didn't realize it either. So if the ball has such crazy spin on it that it goes through the rim but hits the twine and somehow spins back out, that's not two. It's got to clear the net. All right, so the first... When he dunked it, it came back up through and it sort of looked like, did it not clear the net? You didn't know it, and they let it go and they called it no basket. Well, you looked at one replay and it was obvious that it was... a dunk. It was 2 points. And they didn't change it. I said, what? This is what you have replay for. This is so odd. It's one look. One look. Not even needed to be slowed down for 2 points in the fourth quarter of a game in the balance. And that, and you couldn't change that.
I know, that blows your mind, doesn't it?
The NBA will replay clear path, flagrant one, flagrant two, now block charge. You can replay off the last atom of your fingernail on an out-of-bounds play, but you can't replay
the ball going through the hoop.
It's preposterous.
I mean, really, it was. I've never seen anything like it.
Okay, so that's something I want to hit on today, too. The Bruins replay, that's exactly what replay should be. But that thing in the NBA game, you've got to be kidding me. That we can't replay, but we can replay whether the guy lifts his knee on the way to the basket for a flagrant one. It's just insane. Insane. All right, so I'm going to start everything other than Patriots. I have a Red Sox thought to get to. I have a Celtics thought to get to. We can hit on this replay stuff. Also today, we have going to have a surprise guest for you at 3 o'clock until he comes on the line. I don't want to tell you who it is in case he bails on us.
Correct.
But we'll have a surprise guest at 3 o'clock, and no, it's not Terry Bradshaw. Okay, that will
damn
be 3 o'clock. And most importantly, I've buried the lead. We're giving away Patriots tickets. We're giving away Patriots tickets today at 4:30. The 98.5 The Sports Hub ticket weasel has come above ground. We'll tell you exactly how you can win these tickets with your calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It didn't go in. It went through the side of the net. I don't know how, but it did. There's no question. He's going down this right wing side. He's a left-hand shot. Tries a backhand from a sharp angle with Grizzlick on him and puts the puck through the side of the net.
From
my replay ranting. That is what replay is for. That's what replay's for.
I mean, both of those plays. You go into the basketball one, too.
Replay is there for that. It obviously went through the side of the net. You could see it on the first replay. It took about 10 seconds. They got the call right, and we all moved on with our lives. That's what replay is for. That's the only place it should be used. Don Dechinger in the World Series. The guy that cost the dude the perfect game. But that play at first base.
Yeah, it was Jim Joyce.
Okay, like that thing. That one replay, and you know, and that's it. Which, the reason it doesn't work is because then you have the thing last night in the NBA where James Harden dunks the basketball through the net, all the way through the net. And just because of the way he did it, I guess, it spun out of the net in this weird way. And
it came out the bottom, spun up to the top, and sat on the rim, and then fell out.
Okay, so it's hard to fully explain, but it definitely cleared the net. It went all the way through the net. In real time, it was a little confusing. So the refs let it stand as a miss. And so do you know that they called timeout, and D'Antoni was arguing it. He could have challenged it, but you only have 30 seconds to challenge?
Correct.
And so Listen to how absurd this is. Because you didn't challenge it officially within 30 seconds of your timeout, you then can't challenge it. Like, what is the point of all of that? Why can't you just look at the TV and say, no, that went through the rim.
I mean,
let's go. The 2 points count.
It is. It's stupid. Again, I'll tell you, I don't know that I've ever seen either one of those plays last night in either sport. The hockey one that went through the side of the net, and this one that went through the hoop, through the net, came out the outside of the hoops like a regular basket, spun up, went on the rim, and then fell out. And the officials, the referees, thought it just, you know, popped back out and sat on the rim and came out. Like, the whole thing was...
Okay, but the point is...
No, but they were... Once you watch them on replay, it was entirely apparent what happened.
In the NBA, they replay out of bounds. They replay clear path. And they don't just replay. They stop the game, and they go to the scorer's table, and they flip the monitor around, and they put the headset on, and they talk to Sakar, and they take 10 minutes out of our lives to determine whether it's clear path in the second quarter of a nothing game in November. Like, people don't even know what the rule is. Never mind the need to replay it. Flagrant one, flagrant two, block charge, sidelines out of bounds. You can replay all this crap now. You can't replay an actual basket?
I know, unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
So that's just another example of replay doesn't work. All right, 617-779-0985. We're going to get to a Celtics point. We're going to get a Red Sox point. We started with Bruins and this replay stuff. How you can win free Patriots tickets is coming up as well, so don't leave your radio on that. Pat in Boston, lead us off today on the Bees.
Mike, I called you last year during the finals and told them that Cassidy had to split up that top line and put Marshawn with Krejci, and you hung up on me and laughed at me and said that they're not going to do that. They shouldn't do that. Why would you split up that line? So why have you changed your tune on that now?
Haven't changed my tune. No, I thought they should have split it up last year. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
That's what I said. I said that during the finals. They should have done that during the finals. That line completely went dry, and they weren't getting any secondary scoring. So why? It worked earlier in the year last year, and it's working now. So why is he so hesitant? I think he deserves blame for not going and doing that. Coaches in previous years that have won the Cup, Quinville, Sullivan, they all change up their lines when they go dry, and they pulled out a win for the finals. I just don't understand why Cassidy doesn't get enough blame for that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think you're confusing me with another talk show host. I don't know. I was ripping Cassidy all finals last year for sticking with that stupid erection line when they were getting their ass handed to him. And that he gave him too many minutes and too much power play time and never mixed up that combination.
Would you take Marchand away from Bergeron?
Yes.
From
sure.
Bergeron?
If they're getting their ass handed to him like they were last year, of course. Yes, absolutely. If we get too deep into the Stanley Cup final and that line is -7, Pastrnak, -4, Bergeron, -5, Marchand, and they can't get out of their own way, hell yes.
Okay, so the first thing I would do is move Pastrnak.
Okay, but I'm not telling you it's the first thing I would do, but to me, everything's on the board. And I thought Cassidy was way too. He never mixed those guys up.
Yeah. So look, again, I'm all for breaking them up. I don't think Pastrnak should play with Bergeron and Marchand. I think Pastrnak should be with Krejci. So last night Marchand ended up with Coyle, but Bergeron wasn't on the ice. I'm just saying that my guess is what the caller said is that move Marchand and put him with Pastrnak, and you said no, they're not going to take Marchand away from Bergeron.
Okay. So what they're going to do and what I think they should do are two different things. You're right. They are married to Bergeron Marchand, but I'd mix them up. Yeah. I'd mix up anyone. I love the way Quinville won three cups, and he had a great roster. And even with Taves and Kane and Hossa and those guys in their prime, he was constantly moving those guys around. So I like that model. And you know what? Cassidy will do it with every other line. He'll do it. I mean, how many times has he mixed up Krejci's right wing?
All the time.
Deep into the finals, it was Kuhlman, it was Backes, it was this guy, it was that guy. Now it's Coyle. Like that. Cassidy will do it with every other line other than that first line. He's afraid to mess with it.
Yeah, to me, the big one to me is I don't know why Pastrnak has to stay there. Like, I don't get that. That makes no sense to me. They're better off if Pastrnak's on the second line. And look, if at the end of the day you want to tell me that you want to leave Pastrnak with Bergeron because that works better and ultimately Bergeron can cover Pastrnak's ass, fine, whatever. But the big one to me is the right wing's got to go to Krejci. Like, I would start there and then see what happens.
Okay, we're giving away Patriots tickets today at 4:30. I made the mistake. Two months ago, doing some sort of giveaway gimmick kind of thing, and Murray's held it against me ever since, to the point where we now have the 98.5 The Sports Hub ticket weasel. So what are we doing today, Murray?
Well, you know, with Kansas City coming to town, Mike, I thought we'd have a Chiefs-related game to give away these tickets. Specifically, it's going to be an Andy Reid-related game. Andy Reid, the head coach of the Chiefs. And that game is called...
What's he ordering?
That's right. It's What's Andy Ordering. As we have joked, the girthy Chiefs head coach always looks like he has his head buried in the Cheesecake Factory menu on the sidelines. So with that, we're going to play sound of Andy Reid calling in a play to Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, followed by his order off the menu. So be listening for what Andy wants to stuff his face with. First person through 4:30 on the contest line that repeats A. Reed's orders wins the tickets.
Okay, so at some point between now and 4:30, we're going to hear what Andy Reid is ordering from the Cheesecake Factory menu on the sidelines.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that has to be repeated at 4:30 to win the tickets.
Yes, there will be three menu items that you will hear between now and 4:30. Repeat those menu items, you win the tickets. First person through the contest line at 4:30. You want the first one?
I love it. Is it Tex-Mex egg rolls?
So again, Andy Reid... It's born out of the most preposterous thing. Andy Reid, when the defense is on the field, will go to the bench and sit down. He'll sit down like, this is the head coach now. Like, what if you need to call a timeout? What if you need to accept, decline a penalty? No, he just like, go ahead, you guys can handle that. I need to sit my fat ass down. He sits down, and then he pulls out the huge laminated play sheet to start looking at what his drive start is going to be for the next drive, and it looks like the Cheesecake Factory menu. So this is what this is the bit.
Yeah, he's actually ordering for the ride home because he wants to do curbside.
Okay, so you're saying the actual item is going to be revealed between now and 4:30. You have to repeat the item, but you're going to play something for me now. I don't get it.
Yeah. You're going to hear the items. Like, again, you have to be listening for these, and you have to repeat them at 4:30.
So all three?
Yeah.
Do you have to get all three, or can you get one of the three?
No, all three. Okay, the point is to keep listening.
All right, so you got to get all three. Well, I can play the first one now.
Okay.
Well, between now and 4:30, we'll play the three menu items. You have to repeat the three.
Nope. What's the game called, Mike?
I can't remember.
What's Andy eating? Ordering. What's Thank Andy you. Ordering?
What's Andy ordering? What's he ordering?
That's how you win your free Patriots tickets today at 4:30. In the meantime, more of your thoughts on this stuff. A Red Sox minute for you coming right up after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mez.
Wow. Oh.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, here's your Red Sox minute. Maz, I guess the winter meetings have started?
No, no, next week.
Oh, next week?
Next week.
Okay, so, wow.
I meant to email you on that and I forgot.
Okay.
They actually start on Monday.
Okay,
or, so. Well, late Sunday they start.
So I got confused because in Jeff Passan's story, he said would start Monday, which was yesterday, or, you know, the other day. And I'm like, oh, they've already started and no one knows. Like, boy, these things have gotten irrelevant. It'd be a huge, huge, it used to be a huge point on the sports calendar.
Oh, massive. And I now mean, again, now it's non-existent.
Now it's like, when are they? Did they start? Oh, no, it's next week. So I got confused when he said Monday. I thought he meant the other day. So anyway, okay, winter meetings start this Monday. And Jeff Passan wrote a column about trade possibilities across the league. And he basically said the Red Sox, the word across Major League Baseball is that the Red Sox will not be trading Mookie Betts, that they're going to try and save their money by trading David Price and or Nathan Eovaldi. Okay, again, multiple executives this week, according to Passan, said they believe a potential trade involving 2018 AL MVP Mookie Betts is unlikely to happen. The Red Sox, who are looking to cut payroll, instead are trying to move salary in the form of a pitcher, either David Price or Nathan Eovaldi. Which is all well and good, writes Passan, except that to do so, the Red Sox will need to include someone of value to get that team to take on that salary. So, and let me just say first, this is what I don't want to trade Nathan Eovaldi either. David Price. Need to save some money? Start and end with David Price for a multitude of reasons. Not the least of which, it's $30 million off your books, you know, minus whatever you're going to have to swallow some money to make them, you know, attractive to someone else. But enough of David Price. He hates you. You hate him. It was not meant to be here. It doesn't work here. I'm sick of looking at that guy's puss. Everybody's sick of looking at that guy's puss. Like, enough of David Price in Boston. He, you know, he broke through. He got his championship. He succeeded when a lot of us thought that he wouldn't. Okay, good story. Now, please, take that attitude somewhere else. Enough of David Price. So that's where I start.
Oh, look, I mean, I think that would be the preferred route for everybody. The question is, what do you have to include or how much money do you have to eat?
To me, I eat money till he's till he's attractive. I don't want to, and they go on in this story to say that, you know, of the prospects that they'd have to include, they've gotten a lot of calls and a lot of thought on Andrew Benintendi. I am not trading Andrew Benintendi just to get rid of David Price. I'm swallowing money until he's...
Still think that bat's going to become something, huh?
Benintendi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And good luck with that.
Why?
If it wasn't going to happen last year, it ain't going to happen.
Why?
He's a good defensive outfielder. The bat's never going to come along. It's just not. Come on.
I mean, didn't
we all seen enough with this kid?
He's in the exact same spot Rafi Devers was in the year before. I show patience with those guys till they prove to me they're Jackie Bradley.
So, look, I don't think he has Devers' power, but that's not the point. The point is, do you think he can be better than he was and be a good player? And he still has that chance. I'm not a huge Benintendi fan, as you know. But to me, how that whole thing breaks down with Price, to get back to your original question, is a huge part of it. Like, if you have to eat half the money on Price, well, then that doesn't solve your money problem.
No, it solves half of it.
Okay, so, well, it does. I mean, and again, then you'd probably end up moving Bradley, I guess, and, you know, I don't know who else, and you'd figure it out. So if you're going to eat half the money, then there's no way I'm giving up Benintendi. No way.
Right, exactly.
So, like, to me, it's one or the other.
But I'm not, and Murray, I'm not sure on Benintendi, but that's the whole point. It's like, he's cost affordable, and what if he just had a year two dip exactly like Rafi Devers did. Now Rafi Devers is untouchable. The year before, I think people said, yeah, you know, he's someone that I would consider moving. He's never going to be anything. He'll never have the plate discipline. And then year three, or, you know, whatever.
That was just a one-year dip with Devers. We're now looking at, like, 2 years. I thought last year the power was going to come along for Benintendi. I know I was not alone there, and it hasn't. I don't think it will. And I also think he's a bit of a pud. You know, so if you're trying to get out attitude by moving Price, and sorry, Maz. So I think, I don't know, if you want to make the team a little bit more likable and palatable, then those two could go.
The other thing is, tell me what's coming back. So that if by including Benintendi, I'm going to get something back that I really want, then I would do it.
Okay.
I'm not married to Benintendi is my point.
Now we're changing the equation.
But there were certain guys on that team that I would deem untouchable. I'm not moving Devers. I'm not moving Bogarts. You can go pound sand. I'm not moving them.
But Murray, to this point, 2 years ago, if I asked you about Bogarts, you'd say...
I did say yes.
You'd say, yeah, I'd include him. So, like, you just got to sort of wait out some of those young players to see exactly what they are.
That's fair.
Yeah, you're fair. Yeah, it's right on Bogarts, yeah.
I mean, two years ago, we're like, get rid of this guy, yeah. And then he's arguably your best player.
No, that's fair. You got to make a judgment call. I'm just telling you, I look at Devers. From the day Devers arrived in the big leagues, I thought his power was legit. Bogarts, I thought, underachieved, and I thought they messed him up a little bit, and I thought it's not going to happen. Thankfully, it did. Cora got through to him, but Bogarts always had the power and always had the size. With Benintendi, I've always questioned whether or not he'd hit for power. Since day one, I've said that. He can play. He's a good player, but I don't know if he'll hit for power in the big leagues, and if he doesn't, he's just another guy.
Cam and Taunton has a Red Sox thought for us. Go ahead, Cam.
Maz, I haven't heard you talk about this yet, and if you did, I just missed it. I asked Matt McCarthy this on Friday. Do you think Cora should be suspended for his connection to this Astros thing? And if he does, Felger, can you tell me how good of a manager Renicky is since he was your guy for a few years?
Nervous Nelly, not a manager.
No, I say no on the suspension. Because, again, to me, that gets into a really dangerous area. If all of a sudden you start going after coaches and play, like, where do you stop? They all did it. Like, in a case like that, you got to go after the head.
The organization.
You got to chop the head off. And so in the case of uniform personnel, that's the manager. Organizationally, you got to hit them hard, go after the GM maybe. But you start going down the line, you're going to wipe out half the team. Where do you stop?
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics minute for you. We have a surprise guest, a mystery guest coming up at 3 o'clock. I'm saying mystery in case he blows us off.
We hope.
And then I haven't teased someone that's not there. So mystery guest at 3 o'clock. We're going to get to all your Patriots and Tom Brady stuff coming up in a little bit. Also, most importantly, we're giving away Patriots tickets today at 4:30 to that great matchup Sunday against Kansas City. A clue on how you can win those tickets coming your way right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That James Harden play. I just don't get
it. It is comical though, right?
I just don't get how replay has gotten to what it's gotten to. All the mechanics of it and all the rules and all the technicalities. They just couldn't look at it and say, no, that ball went through the hoop. Keep playing. Like,
right,
that's
right.
All it takes.
Again, just apply common sense. It went through the hoop. It's 2 points.
It went through the hoop. It's 2 points. But all the other fracata stuff in that league that they replayed.
Bureaucracy at its finest.
Oh, my God, the clear path stuff. The flagrant one, flagrant two. What is a flagrant one, flagrant two, Murray? Do you know?
No.
Do you care?
Nope.
What are the penalties associated with each? Does it really? Do you know or care?
Well, flagrant two is ejection. I know that.
I'm just saying this for effect. Oh. Okay. The point is.
I'm sorry to actually
answer. Well, no, right. I was looking for Murray's answer, which is I don't know. But yet they take time. How much time do they spend going over to the table to look at this crap?
Way too long.
For something we don't know or really frankly care.
No, meanwhile, the ball goes through the hoop and you can't review it.
Nope, can't look at that.
So correct me if I'm wrong. It wasn't the play with the Bruins last year in Columbus non-reviewable?
Yep, yeah. Couldn't review that.
They
right?
changed
That's
that.
Another one.
Well, they changed that since.
So they've changed it, but that went out of the field of play, if you will, off the netting. But No, can't look at that. But we can look to see if Bergeron's skate blade is off the ice by the length of a pubic hair and take a goal off the board, and we'll spend a half an hour on that.
I mean, really, it is really astonishing that the most basic things, like you would say, what if the puck actually leaves and goes over the glass and hits the net? Can you review that?
No.
No, why would you want to review that? That'll never happen. It is. It's unbelievable.
Okay, folks, we are going to give something away to you this segment, okay? And when I say this segment, before we take our next commercial, I will have a giveaway for you. Not the Patriots tickets. The Patriots tickets are coming at 4:30, but to win the Patriots tickets at 4:30, you need to tell us what Andy Reid has ordered off the cheesecake menu, which we'll give you the latest clue with that coming up here in a minute. I've been teasing a mystery 3 o'clock guest who has already canceled on us, which is why...
Shocker, right?
Which is why I did not reveal the name, because I thought it wasn't going to happen anyway.
I know it.
Okay, but they actually said 3 o'clock won't work. Maybe another time, Will, we'll call you. So,
yeah, check's in the mail.
Yeah, so we'll see. That may not happen, which is fine. More time for the rest of us chickens. Here's your quick Celtics. So we're talking about replay and how the Bruins thing was, you know, replayed and taken off the board last night. Easy peasy, just like it should be. And somehow a dunk that was not ruled properly on the floor was allowed to stand as a non-basket when it went through. So we're talking about that. But Celtics are back at it tonight at home against Miami. Surprise team. Miami's actually maybe a half game ahead of them in the standings. They're right there.
They have one more win than the Celtics. They both have 5 losses.
Okay, so Miami played last night, I believe, and they played an overtime game last
Correct.
Night. They won in overtime last night in Toronto. So you're sitting at home. They're second of back-to-back having played. I thought it was an overtime game last night. Anyway,
it was.
Overtime game last night in Toronto. This should be a win.
You got to win these games.
Okay, and we haven't really hit on the Celtics here in the last little bit. There's been a little bit of leakage from the Celtics. I think they're 4-4 in their last 8.
Sounds right.
I think they won like 10 in a row, or they're 10-1, and then they're 4-4 since, something like that.
Huh.
Kind of a bit of a tendency lately to play down to crap competition. Like, that game against the Knicks was way too close for comfort for a while.
After losing to the Nets, the second of the two in New Jersey. So they're still, I don't have the stands in front of me, I believe they're 2.5 games behind the Bucks.
Correct.
They are the 4 seed, and they're all tightly bunched. They're all within a half game of each other. Miami, Toronto, Boston, and Philly, I believe, are all within a half game of each other.
It is very tight. In fact, the East has much more competition than you would have guessed.
Okay, so here's the point. They can't have too much more seepage for my liking, I'm take committed on the Celtics. The 4 seed doesn't really work for me. The 5 seed doesn't really work for me. Yeah, then you're on the road your first couple of rounds in the playoffs, and then I got to look at you a little differently.
And then you're going to lose, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying I'm looking at you differently.
You're worried about losing.
My whole thing, I'm take committed. I'm standing by my take, and I'm rooting for my take. So, as such, I need to see them in that 2 spot. I need to see them in that 2 spot, and frankly, nipping at the heels of the Bucks all year. If you're telling me they're not going to be better than the Bucks, or I've never predicted them over them, I've said game 6 of the East Finals is the minimum of what they're going to be. For them, minimum, to get to game 6 of the East Finals, I don't think they can be a 4 or 5. You know, certainly not the 5, where you're playing on the road the whole way through. Even as the 4, you're home in your first round matchup, but it's then again against going to be one of these Toronto, Philly, Miami against a tough opponent. And then you're at Milwaukee the next round, and it's like, I don't know. You know, so you at least got to be the 2-3 and really the 2.
I mean, look, you need every edge you can get, because I think the East really is Milwaukee, then Philly, and then a bunch of teams together.
You still believe in Philly?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I believe in Philly's talent. I think they get high-end talent. I do. And in the playoffs, that's what I think it's about. So Miami, Toronto, the Celtics, Indiana. I don't count Indiana out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're coming, actually.
Yeah, I always think, Indiana to me has got a pretty good team. I put the Celtics in that cluster with those teams. So I think they're right on the cusp there. I think they are 4 or 5 seed. That's what I think they're going to be. And, you know, they could end up 3rd. I'm not ruling that out. I'm just saying, but I think they're in that cluster. And if they're not the best in that group, they're going to be a 4 seed.
Okay, so there's your Celtics minute. Back to your phones. Larry in Duxbury. I want the Red Sox to start and end with moving David Price to clear the money. What do you think of that?
Well, I think does he have a no-trade clause in his contract, for one. And two, I think he likes the negative attention. It's better than becoming irrelevant. I could see him staying, especially if he's getting along with some of the teams and he doesn't care about the rest. He's relevant if he stays here.
Okay, so he's a masochist. Murray's been on this, that he thrives on the negative juju.
There's almost, and didn't the World Series run kind of prove that? I don't know. It almost felt like he internalized all that. And then you had him raking out there in Houston with his little Zen garden at one point. And then he came back and internalized everyone's hate and said, I'm going to show you all. Now I hold all the cards.
So I don't care what David wants.
Yeah, me either. I'm over it.
Yeah, and I don't think I think he hates it here. I think he'll hate it everywhere.
Oh, he despises it here. And I think the example of the negative attention is he was sitting pretty last year, and then all of a sudden popped off about Eckersley for no good reason.
Oh, my God. Just get rid of this guy.
That just changed. Like, again.
That right there, I think, proves that he does need the negativity in some way, shape, or form. Like, there's a sick part of him. Because everything was going good. Again, you held the trump card. You proved everyone wrong. You proved people like me wrong that thought you were going to pee your pants again in the playoffs. And he didn't. And then he started that thing with Eck last year.
Like, where did that come from?
Right.
What are you doing? Everything was fixed. Everything was fine.
Miserable prick.
So, look, he's the guy you'd move. He's the first guy you'd move. No question about it. And I'm not worried about the no trade. Because my guess is they'll work with him on it.
What is his no trade? He's not probably a 5'10 guy?
No, but he's probably...
Has he been here 5 years?
No.
Okay. No. I was going to say, how long is this nightmare...
No, he's been here 4.
Okay.
But he probably had it built into the contract.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have a limited no trade. You know, you can't send me to freaking wherever.
Right.
It doesn't matter. But my guess is they'll work with him on it. And they'll say, you know, we're going to try to send you someplace you want to go. You wanted to go to St. Louis. They have an interest in you. We're going to work that. I'm not worried about that part of it. I'm worried about what they have to do to get rid of him.
Luke in Vermont, give me your Celtics thought today.
I got 2 quick points. The recent slip is Hayward being out 100%. When you don't have 1 or 2 great players, when you have 4, any one of them being gone is significant, and Hayward is the most significant because he's the only one of the 4 good players that elevates the other guys. So the other 3 have also taken a slip because of Hayward not being there. Second, there's the new odds out to win the NBA championship at the quarter mark, and the Celtics have moved into the top 5, even with Denver still behind Milwaukee, the 2 teams from L.A. I'm not sure if Philly's behind them or ahead of them, but the point is, at the beginning of the year, nobody really believed in Boston. Remember the preseason rankings had them like 10 to 12?
Yep.
They're now moved up into like the top 5. People realize, if everything goes right, Brown and Tatum take the step, Hayward comes back to Utah, Hayward, that they're a contender. They're a contender. That's all I'm saying. They're not the best. They're not a lock. But they're a contender to come out of the East if everything goes right. But they need Hayward back. They miss him desperately. Without him, they're an average to above average team. They're not special without Hayward.
Okay. I hear you.
I mean, that's only 3 more weeks.
For Hayward.
And he's apparently ahead of schedule, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I'm just going by the initial Christmas assessment, right?
Yeah.
Like 6 weeks and put him in Christmas time. The other thing is, and in their defense, they've lost 5 games. 2 of them were back-to-back to the Clippers and Denver on the road by 7 points.
Correct.
Without Hayward. Okay, so like, I'm not, now they lost the Brooklyn game, but those are, you know, 2 games back-to-back basically against the same team. Like, I think those can be a pain in the ass to win sometimes.
Tonight's
an important one.
Tonight's important because it turns out.
And no Smart.
Miami's going to sniff you. Miami's going to be sniffing at you this year. I wasn't really sure that they would, but apparently they are. And so, you know, tiebreakers, home court, blah, blah, blah. If you're all going to be vying for the same spot. And plus, they're second at back-to-back. You've been sitting at home. You should win the game. Even without Hayward, even without Smart, you should win the game.
Yeah, and so these are the kinds of games you're going to have to win if you want them to be what you think they are.
Exactly.
Now, to me, like, you know, the fact that it's a second of a back-to-back from Miami and the fact that the Celtics are home, you know, I lean Celtics tonight even without Smart. I think they should win the game.
Okay. Murray, give us a quick tease. Give me a quick clue on how I can win Patriots tickets, please.
Again, what's the game called, Mike?
What's Andy ordering?
Yes.
What's Andy ordering?
Very good, Mass.
Yes. What's he ordering?
Going to play sound of Andy Reid calling in a play to Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, followed by his order off the Cheesecake Factory menu. You need to be listening for that. Person that calls in at 4:30 on the contest line with all 3 items will win those tickets. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, Coach, first down. What are we running?
Okay. We're going to go trips, right wheel 22. And I think I'm going to have the Southern Fried Chicken Sliders. Mm, those look delicious. Mm.
Southern Fried Chicken Sliders.
That's item number 1 off the Cheesecake Factory menu.
Have you ever had those?
Yeah, they're pretty damn good.
Oh, they're awesome. They are awesome. They are. They're excellent. And by the way, underrated part of this bit, Murray, I'm assuming that was Patrick Mahomes.
At the beginning here?
Yeah.
Okay, Coach, first down. What are we running?
Yeah, that's Patrick Mahomes.
Sounds just like him.
Yeah.
Seriously, listen to Patrick Mahomes. I want you to do a, maybe Jimmy Stewart or Billy can do a compare and contrast. Murray's Mahomes with the real Mahomes. I'm telling you, it's pretty good.
There's your first clue. You got to get all 3 to win the tickets at 4:30. Don't blame me. Well, blame me, because yeah, I started this thing 2 months ago, so I guess you do blame me. You can
blame
someone.
Ticket weasel!
But if you want to win tickets, you got to play with the weasel, all right? So that's what we're doing today. No commercial. I'll have an actual giveaway.
What if I want to win something else, Mike?
If you want to win something else, don't leave your radio, because I'm going to give something else away after Murray's update, and we'll get to the latest on Tom Brady's impending retirement or departure from the Patriots. We'll get to that story right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.